Serving the island from Bembridge to the Needles and beyond. This is Vectis Radio.
Okay, then, what we've got is a phone in for the next hour, and we're talking PFI. So we've got special guest Mike Stark in. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Ian.
Just so that for those of you that you've been on for about half an hour, just quickly tell us what PFI actually means,
well,
stands for.
I think the best way to explain it is a little fairy story, because it's all to do with fairy stories, this PFI.
Right.
Little fairy story I've thought up, which just might explain it to people. A lot of people would know about using your own car and getting motor mileage allowance from your boss. It's an imperfect system, and it's ripe for improvement, just like the Isle of Wight's pothole road network. Okay, so okay. Your boss comes up with this solution. Okay, now let's call the boss government, and let's call the employee local council. Okay, your boss comes up with this solution, and we'll call it preposterous funding idea, which is PFI for short. He'll give you, this is your boss will give you, a chauffeur driven Rolls Royce, and it's yours for 25 years. However, during that period, you have to pay the chauffeur as well as cough up for the fuel and the servicing for the car every year, which of course has to be done by experts. What's more, these costs take precedence over all the other household bills, like the mortgage, the water, electricity, even your children's education. So that's what a PFI is. What it boils down to, Ian, is that the government, well, the council keeps on telling us, it's a gift, it's a present. Well, part of it is 260 million quid, which is the latest figure. It's gone up and down and up and down like a fiddler's elbow over the last 4 years. But anyway, it's 260 million quid. The government, that is taxpayers nationally, because governments and councils don't have any money of them at their own, of course. It's our money. Anyway, they're going to hand over 260 million quid, which will be divvied up over 25 years. That is not a mortgage, not a loan. That is a grant, okay? Now, the council, however, and this is a bit they've kept relatively quiet about up until now, because people like me and my good friend John Wortham have been bleating about it for so long they've got to admit it, and that is that the council, in other words, taxpayers here on the island, have to come up with an amount every year to contribute to this wonderful scheme. Now, currently, again, it's a figure that is elastic. Currently, that stands at, they're estimating it at 8.3 million at the moment a year. Well, prices go up, of course, and they haven't actually speculated about that particular price, but I think we can guarantee over 25 years that 8.3 million is going to go up. And remember this, the 260 million doesn't alter. That is the gift. Prices go up for the way the roads are repaired and all the ancillary items that they say, all the wonderful things we're going to have, hanging baskets and all sorts of wonderful lights and lamps and pavements and everything, and cycle tracks, which I'm very pleased about. All that stuff has got to be paid for as well. The prices for that, you can guarantee, are going to go up in 25 years, Ian. I mean, they're not going to go down, are
sure.
they? And that, so the only flexible bit is the bit that we have to pay every year. Now, a thing that was admitted in a document, a report, that Councillor Eddie Giles, who's in charge of all this thing, put out on the 11th of August 2009 to the Cabinet. I was there and present and asked questions about it. And that stated categorically that this annual amount we have to spend takes precedence over everything else. And that's your education, your social services. That's the first bill, because this is going to be a legally signed contract with the PFI contractors.
Sorry, did you say legally or illegally?
Legally binding.
Legally, sizes,
legally
yeah.
binding. Absolutely legally binding. This is they're going to sign this document, and that's it. We're locked into it for 25 years, and that will be the first call. This is why I say about when you've got this Rolls Royce, it's the first bill you've got to pay every year. And all the other things take second place. And they warned about that. And he actually, when I asked him a question to check up on that day, 11th of August 2009, to check up, and he said, rather snootily, I thought, Mr. Stark is broadly correct. I take that as a yes. And in fact, I checked up with Stuart Love, the guy in overall charge of the whole thing at County Hall, just 2 weeks ago, and he very kindly confirmed to me, yes, that is still the case. So that is one of the things that worries me, Ian. We've got, and this, don't forget, this was all put together before we had the cuts that we're currently going through, before we realised that the banks had collapsed, and all that was being put together then. Now we've got an even worse financial situation nationally and locally, and we're still headlong driving into this very, very risky enterprise that's going to be in the hands of a private company or consortium of companies. Now, don't take my word for it. What I suggested, instead of spending, and don't forget, we are spending currently £7.6 million on just the run-up to the PFI. That's actually, I think, I've described it as the most expensive begging letter in the world, because the £7.6 million is being spent, we're about halfway through it now, on just the run-up in these 3 years up to 2013, when it's supposed to start. Now, I reckon there was a cheaper way to do that, and that was £12 on a catamaran trip over to Portsmouth, because in Portsmouth they've got a Rhodes PFI over there, and yes, it's not exactly the same as ours, but the principle is the same, that you're paying an outside body to do the job. And this is being done in Portsmouth, and they're 6 years into theirs. What a good idea it might have been to pop over and say to them, hey, how's your PFI going, and iron out a few wrinkles. Well, I've done that. I've found no one at the council who has, but I've done that, and a very useful councillor has very kindly written back to me. And here's a couple of things that she says. I'm not a supporter of PFIs, she says. However, if they were not such a rip-off, they'd be good. Oh, dear. The Portsmouth City Council are trying to renegotiate the terms of their contract. These are not my words, by the way. This is Councillor Lynn Stagg, who's a councillor for Portsmouth City Council. She goes on to say, I can't dispute that we have much better roads now than we did 10 years ago. But at what cost? Personally, I wouldn't recommend PFIs, and I think many of my fellow councillors feel the same way. I'm sure it would be possible to have achieved what we have here at much lower cost. Well, amen to that. Now, this is my problem, is that we are throwing good money after bad. Don't forget, a problem we have here, and again, these aren't my words, I'm merely quoting official facts and figures. The audit, the National Audit Office, which until recently did an annual, MOT on local authorities, everyone gets it done, and ours, the latest figures for ours, I'm sorry to have to say this, two stars. And I looked up what two stars meant, because it's meaningless saying it's two, three or four stars.
Sure.
I looked it up. The National Audit Office definition is providing minimum standards. Now, that is the definition of our council, which is taking on the biggest civil, by their own, again, their words, not mine, the biggest civil engineering project ever on the Isle of Wight. And it is in the hands of people who can only provide minimum requirements in services to us. Mm. Now,
sorry, Mike, there's a bit of a noise on your microphone there. Do you just
it's my
just,
voice.
Yeah, no. If you just move back slightly, because I say I think you're rubbing against it with your chest.
Oh,
there.
Oh my goodness,
he's actually laid back.
He's laid back.
The microphone sort of rested on his chest, and it keeps sort of knocking. It's just making a bit of noise.
Too long in the hospitality department of this great station.
Yeah, in that water. It's not water at all. It's vodka. That's the reason why. So, I mean, I've got two questions for you. Okay.
Yeah.
One is that why do we have? I mean, you probably answered it already. Why do we have councillors that won't answer the questions, or they dodge the questions? The other one is probably a broader thing, and it's probably the biggest part to the argument, because what they will probably say is, if you were locked in a room with them now and you were saying this is a really bad idea and they actually agreed with you, because in the cold light of day I would imagine most of them would, it's just that they're beaten into submission, they would probably say, well, hang on, what else can we do? What are the alternatives? You come up, and this is probably one of many of the councillors' the view or argument would be, because they throw it back into your court, knowing that we're not like, I mean, I'm not like you, I'm not switched on with all this. I asked a question because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be ignorant, I don't want to be rude. I'm asking the question because I don't genuinely know. And to be told more or less to mind your own sodding business, I think is not right. And you know, but at the same time, if they will say, what would you put in its place then?
Yeah, two elements of that, and it's a fair point. Two fair points you've made. Now, over the years, since 2005, 2006, myself, John Wortham, and a few others, it's a growing band now, we have asked these questions of councillors. That's the correct way to do it, to go to councillors. Some of the officials are very kind and polite and do actually respond. But initially, the channel of communication is through councillors. And we have asked. Now, what has become exasperating is that you get... either answers that you know are wrong because you've got the paperwork yourself, or you get counsellors who frankly just don't know. And this isn't just with the PFI. I'm not being rude, but honestly, many, many years I've been trying to hold counsellors to account, and time and again you say, did you read that report that was before you at such and such committee meeting? It said so-and-so was going wrong. No, I don't know what you're talking about, Mike. And I think that is iniquitous. You know, I know they're busy people and all that sort of thing. Now, that's one element of it. Mm-hmm. And you know, part of that is the fact that, I mean, for instance, I wrote a letter to the CP a couple of weeks ago, which they kindly published, and that gave one or two of the things that we have found to be a great problem, and that is that you ask a question and you get one answer. You ask a similar question a couple of weeks later, and you get a different answer. And all the fact, this is what I said about the goalposts. Now, here's a case in point. The predecessor to Eddie Giles, a bloke called Tim Hunter Henderson, still a councillor. Now, he was in charge of the PFI towards the beginning of it. And all the time they were saying, this is a done deal, this is a gift, this is a done deal. And we knew it wasn't a done deal. There were all sorts of hoops to go through before it. So we challenged them. John Wortham stood up in that council chamber and challenged them and said, show us the paperwork. Show us that it's written down somewhere. The government has said this is okay. We haven't got it. No, we have not got it. John Wortham stood there and said, show us the paperwork. Show us the paperwork. He stood up. No, we haven't got it. Wow, at last, an admission. Oh, no, 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 no. Within just over a day, County Hall's Communications Department, you know, right, the Ministry of Truth, they came up with, yes. Oh, so it's an about turn. So we said, okay, then show us the letter from the minister. Show us the. Do you know what it was, Ian?
Go on.
It was a PR handout to the media, which was from Rosie Winterton, who was then the minister in charge of PFIs, et cetera, talking about all sorts of PFIs and saying what a good idea they were. And there was Isle of Wight mentioned and various other councils mentioned. It was nothing like a confirmation that we were getting it. So you got yes, no. That's just an example of the sort of thing that's gone on. And it's, believe me, there are all sorts of facts and figures that have changed, you know, daily. I mean, the 8.3 million I mentioned to you, that they're saying now it's going to be 8.3 million, possibly a little bit less, you see, because they're worried about the fact that how much we're going to have to spend each year.
Of course
year.
They are. Holly, now, hang on. Holly, who's this?
Hello, it's John Smith here. How are you?
Hello, Don. It's nice to hear from you. I'm very well. What about you?
I'm all right. Well, you won't believe it, but I'm just waiting in the day surgery unit to go in for a minor operation.
Right.
So I thought I'd just give you a ring and see how you were going on.
We're fine. We're really fine. We're in the middle of a PFI phone-in.
Yeah, all right.
And we've got Mike Stark in. I don't know whether you've heard of the PFI.
What's the subject?
Well, PFI is... Well, I'll hand you over to Mike. Mike will tell you all about it.
Hello there, Don. It's the PFI, is something the council's trying to get us into, looks like getting us into, which is a private finance initiative to mend and repair the island's roads over a 25-year period and cost us a lot of money.
Yeah, the roads are a disgrace, aren't they?
Well, of course they are, and we need to do something about it. But
well, all my visitors, and I have a big family, when they come over to the island, that's one of the first things they say about the
that's right,
the roads.
That's right.
I don't know what's going on, because I live in Winchester Close, and the thing is, they just mended a hole, and no sooner mended it than it became depressed again, and it had a pool of water in it. So they're not doing the job properly, these fellas. There's a lot of cowboys about.
Well, that's I can't possibly comment on that. But what I'm warning about, Don, is the fact that that we all know the roads are bad. We all know the roads. Something's got to be done about it. But this method that the council's trying to get us into is going to be, in my view, in the view of lots of other people, a growing number of people, is actually going to cost us a lot of money. And there's a better way of doing it. We certainly need to do something about it. And the problem is, of course, that it's no good just slinging bits of asphalt and grit over the top of it. Experts have told me, because I'm not an expert, I like to consult the experts. I don't want to pontificate unless I've checked the facts.
I must interject. This council does absolutely nothing that the people want doing, do they? I mean, I read in the county press this morning that they're removing the slide in the pool, and yet they're going to sell it, and they own it, yet they're saying it costs each person £1.40 to use it. It just doesn't make sense to me. We want to clear out at County Hall. There's no doubt about it.
But yeah, well, we'll get a chance in a couple of years' time, and if lots of people turn out.
Well, that's it. See, there's a lot of people don't register to vote.
I know. Yeah. Well, they get what they deserve, don't they, Don?
Well, that's it. And my crib is this: that a lot of people in these nursing homes are getting a voting slip, and a lot of them aren't capable of filling in the form themselves, so someone else is doing it for them. I once distributed some Labour leaflets a few years ago in the Mountjoy ward, and every nursing home that I went to refused to have my leaflets. Every one of them.
Oh, right.
So this is why this fella probably gets a 10,000 majority, because I can't say we can actually do that. Unless he's getting some help from somewhere.
That's the cut and thrust of politics, I think.
Hey, look, Don, it's great to talk to you. When are you going to come in and do a phone-in?
Well, I'm just going to have a minor operation this afternoon. In about a fortnight, I'm going to get in touch with you because I want to talk about the prisons.
Brilliant. That'll be fantastic.
Our prisons have gone to the dogs. But anyway, the prisons are like the roads. They're rubbish. Anyway, I'm going now. I can see the nurse coming for me.
Good luck.
I'm ready for my injections, so take care.
Thanks.
And it's nice to see you. Take care. Bye-bye, young man.
Thanks for phoning, Don. Cheers.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Hope it goes well with the operation.
He called me young man then.
Yeah, he obviously didn't see you, so but there was someone coming through on the other line then. They've gone now, but if you want to phone straight back, you can phone on two numbers, 533-063 or 527-444. If you phone now, you'll get straight through. We've got a couple of questions email-wise, is that all right?
Yeah, of course.
The phone's ringing, so we'll take the call. Hi, who's that?
Hello, mate.
It's Mark in France. Do you mind if I quickly just read out an email?
Yeah, go on.
All right. Look at the PFIs for hospitals, the private finance initiative funds the building of the hospital, which is then leased back to the NHS Trust. The NHS never owns the building. Is this the right way to go? No, not at all. Maggie sort of answered her own question here, but I mean...
It's a different sort of PFI to the sort of PFI we're having, but I think the basic thing, and of course this is one of the get-outs that County Hall says, oh, well, it's not the same sort of PFI. But I don't think that is the issue. The issue is, this is a private finance initiative. What we are handing over is a certain amount of control of what should be public service to a private company or series of companies. They've got a duty to their shareholders. They haven't got a duty to us. I mean, councillors and officials in County Hall have got a duty to us. They answer to us as the electors, as the voters. And we were just talking just now about, you know, more people should turn out to vote. You only get the council you deserve. So, turn out and vote and then you might get something changed. But that's my point, is that a PFI is involving a particular point I'm making is a PFI is involving private companies who want to make money, and they do make money. They make a lot of money out of these PFIs, whichever way it's cut. And I read out just now the items from that letter from the councillor from Portsmouth City Council. This is their experience. This is somebody who's actually going through a PFI. What we get from County Hall too much is, and what they call it, it's got an official name, it's called optimism bias.
Right.
And that goes. It's like when I buy a new bike, I go and tell the missus. I say, look, if I don't go down the pub for a couple of months and I give up the bike magazine, then I can afford this. And she says, all right, love, if you'll do that.
And you don't.
And of course, I still go down the pub and I read the magazine down there so she doesn't see it. But that's like this optimism bias. They say it's all going to be wonderful. We can afford it. Rubbish.
You might get a word in a minute, Mark, won't you?
Well, no. I think Mike's just answered my question.
Well, I'm sorry about that,
hang
Mark.
Hang on, you ain't asked it yet.
No, Mike. What I was thinking was, they're going to give you 240 million.
260.
Right, 260 million.
Yeah.
Why don't the council take that money, go and buy their own plant, get a team of individuals, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And do the work themselves.
Well, that's you know, that's a very good point, and it's half of the second part of a question Ian asked me some time ago now. But and that is that there is another way. Now, I would have to say that technically speaking, this 260 million is tied to this system, which is national government's fault. And it was started with the Conservatives. New Labour took it over, and now the Coalition, which is a combination of all sorts of parties, that they've taken it on as well. It works well. It's a system that works well for them because what it's called is taking capital expenditure off the books for the Treasury. That means that they can promise, they can say, we'll give you 260 million quid over 25 years. Now, they don't have to actually, I mean, that's all allocated, but on the books it shows up as a 25th. In each year's books. Are you with me still?
Because when
they do the accounts each year, the national accounts for the Treasury, they can say, well, it's only, we've allocated 260 million, but it's only 125th this year, so it doesn't look like so much. So this is where the government love it because of that, and this is one of the things that's gone wrong over the years.
So you have to use a private company if you take this money.
That's right, and that's all part of it, and it's part of a deal, and that this is the whole point about getting locked into it.
Question then.
Well,
who's going to be the private company?
Right, now they've got that.
Tell you what, it'll be the one who gives them the biggest bung.
I couldn't possibly comment, but what has happened so far here is that there are three consortiums or companies in the frame. One of them is an organisation called COLAS, which has a great deal of PFIs up and down the country. I was speaking earlier about Portsmouth's experience, which some councillors there are now regretting that they took on the PFI. And guess who is the contractor there? You did guess. COLAS.
Okay.
And they're one of the preferred three for here. So, you know, be warned.
Now, is it right that only 8 members vote on this?
No.
On the council?
No.
So what is it? Is it the whole council have to be in agreement?
No, they don't. I mean, what we've got here is we've got 40 councillors, 24 are of the Conservative persuasion, and the rest of them are either Lib Dems, there's one Labour, and...
All 40 vote then?
All 40 can vote, yes. A growing number of them have decided, some have changed their minds and been good enough to say so, have changed their minds on the PFI, but the ruling group... they will vote as a block.
They'll be told to.
They say they're not told, but I think behind the
scenes. Here, Mike, look, that bleeding mob will do as they're told. All they've done is to shut their bleeding mouth, sit there, and do as that Wally Pugh says. And the other geezer Brown.
That seems to be what happens. But the thing is that they have actually voted on it. They have voted on it and they pushed it through. That this is what they've agreed to do. My point is, getting back to what is the alternative, I produced for them specifically because, you know, people are going to ask a moaner like me, you know, well, what would you do then? You know, even though it's not my job, I'm not paid to do that. But there you are. If I'm going to moan, I'm going to be called to account. So what I did, Mark, is I sat down and did a little bit of head scratching. I talked to some expert people, and I came up with a 6-page document of my alternative. I know it's not
but
very
they
long.
They didn't even bleed and read it.
Well, I sent it to all councillors, and I had, I think, half a dozen of them. One of them was a Conservative from the ruling group. Half a dozen of them were good enough to respond, and those were all positive responses. I haven't heard from Councillor Pugh or Councillor Brown or Councillor Giles.
You won't hear from them, will you?
Don't be unkind.
I'll tell you what. If this mob want this to go through, no matter what you do, what you say, it will go through.
Well, that's the point. But the point is that I'm trying to, and I'm not alone, there are other people, and it is a growing number of people now, who are, you know, just looking at the facts and figures and being extremely concerned, Mark. And I mean, it's...
Exactly.
You know,
but
people
who are concerned, mate, they don't give a stuff about. Well, what you want to do over there is get organised and start putting placards up all over the roads, PFI, 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 everywhere. And when people start asking in the pubs and whatnot, what's this PFI thing going around?
That's right, yeah.
Get people interested.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've been trying to do for the last 6 years.
But you'll
years.
Have a council worker, they'll take 3 people on, right? They'll give 3 people a job to go down and rip them off. To rip them down.
Ah, well.
You're fighting an hard fight, mate, and I hope you bleeding well win.
Well, thanks very much, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
What?
Thanks for your bleeding call.
Here, hold on. You want me to read my email out, what I'd sent to Bynan?
If you want to.
Right, well, I wrote him a letter about my trip over there, didn't I?
Yeah.
About the work. Right, he sent me one back saying if I can give him receipts and whatnot. Now, even already put in my letter, I'm not a politician, I'm not a councillor, I don't need to keep bleeding receipts, right? So anyway, he sent me one back, blah, blah, blah. So I sent him one back. As I told you, I have no receipts. I think you must be a bit mentally challenged, as you seem to hear and read what you only want to do so. Right? As for the bidding for the work, because he asked me to put my name down for future work with the council, as for the bidding for the work, the reimbursement of your money and your apology, you can take all three of them and stick them up your arse. Thank you very much, Mark in France. That's what I think of him and the rest of them over there, apart from you, Mike, and the Independents.
Well, I'm not actually on the council.
You're up against
don't
it with this mob.
Mark, I'm not on the council.
You bleeding well should be.
Well, I tried for it once as an independent, and I got the bronze medal. But it was great fun.
Right. You know, English Pete, I think Pete's right. You've got to get organised over there and get a new party, an actual party.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make. Thanks for your call, mate. Have a lovely weekend, mate. All right.
Have a lovely weekend.
Cheers now. Bye.
Some
other emails that have come in. We should take a break in a moment, but there's one here. Morning, yeah. In. Fire control should stay on the island, short and sweet. Yes, it costs a lot of money to run, like it would any other fire control, but we need local knowledge to remain local, not some bod who lives in Surrey trying to translate island dialect over the phone from someone who is scared out of their wits, stuck in a house fire or a car crash. Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you councillors. Regarding the petitions, it is no good going along to your local fire station, as the staff there, like the fire control staff, have been forbidden to talk about it. Yes, that's correct. Total suppression of opinion. The fire control staff are being treated very badly indeed, and the only thing that they have been told is that you're going to Surrey. You are too costly. It is my understanding Surrey are busy with London Fire Brigade undergoing trial runs for emergencies that may occur at the Olympics next year. Rumour has it that the island fire control is not transferred very soon, that may have to shelve the move due to the Olympic Games, so it would appear the island's councillors are moving extra fast on the move, or it's red faces all rounds. Suggest contacting your local councillor and let them have an earful. Also, you can download the petition from the firewon'twait.com website. That's all one word, firewon'twait.com website. The petition must be handed in by the 29th of April. That's Mark of Shanklin. P.S. The mandolin player was John Peel. That came in just a little while ago. I mean, I know this is not anything to do with the PFI, but if they had any common sense, they would cut themselves a deal, maybe, that they got, you know, more money so that we could do the fire, the whole shebang. Why is it just the roads? Why is it just this and this? I mean, fire control is so important. We
Absolutely.
Did this phone in yesterday, and I mean, it's a bit like if you're going to take a mortgage on, and your house is falling down, you're going to take out a little bit more and do it up, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's basically it. Why are we going to lose, you know, the fire crew, or a lot of the fire crew on the island? It makes sense to take out. But, I mean, is that the right thing to do? Take out extra money, more finance? When it comes down to it, and I've asked the question, you know, a little while ago, and all councillors will say, well, you come up with a better idea then. Have we come up with a better idea yet? No, not really. Have we, or not?
This isn't a particular topic of mine. I haven't studied it particularly, but I think it's a sort of symptom, like we've had with the 999 calls that go over to Netley, is that centralisation is best, and that's it, you know, and it's all done piecemeal. Don't forget, an awful lot of our senior lot in charge at County Hall are commuters, you know, it's sort of this wide out thinking, you know, that doesn't really work. I mean, I've heard horrendous stories stories about, like the police 999 calls going to Netley, where people have rung up for 999 and then they get someone from Netley saying, well, whereabouts is that on the Isle of Wight? And you have to, apparently, I was told, you have to name the nearest crossroads so that they can get it on their Google map or whatever. I don't know, that's just anecdote, but I don't think it's the right way to do things. This centralisation, taking things away from the local area, I mean, let's face it, what we're going to get back to with everything is it's going to be localised again. And all the sort of things that the idyllic good life kind of thing that people have looked on as being something worth striving for, you know, in a sort of nice frilly sort of pink bunny way, in some cases, is actually going to be forced on us when we've got no oil, and to go on our PFI roads, we won't have any petrol to go in our cars, and everything's going to break down in that way. And we're all going to have to be back in our villages and looking after each other locally, having our local shops. I mean, it's going to be great, really. But we should be preparing for this now, Ian. We shouldn't be going about all these costly things that are great pie in the sky stuff, PFI in the sky, I call it, in terms of the PFI, which is people with short-term thinking, because this is politicians, whether they're local politicians or national politicians. They think no further than the next election, the next amount of money they can get out of us. And don't forget, we do pay our councillors as well. Mr. Pugh gets 32 grand a year out of us.
Plus expenses,
yeah. So, you know, it's quite a nice little living. But it's short-termism. They don't think in the long term. I've tried to point out to them, I don't know if people have heard of peak oil. I'm told by the experts that the oil starts to run out in 2013. Coincidentally, the first year of our PFI is supposed to start. So in 2013, demand starts to outstrip supply, according to the experts, according to the scientists. And then, of course, what happens? Apart from the fact that it will run out, the prices are going to get even worse than they are now with the odd war, so it's going to get much worse. What's the planning for that? What plans for that? I was talking to a very eminent person the other day in power supply. Power supplies are going to start running out in 2016. I was at a talk he gave. He was showing slides on the screen, showing exactly where it's science. It's not prediction. It's not speculation. He's got a fear in his head. It's absolute science. This 2016, we're going to start getting what he called brownouts. That is not blackouts, but 2 or 3 hours a day, you have a control switch off because there ain't enough electric to go round. And he said he's experienced that with his young family in Pakistan. And he said every night the lights went off, for all the electric went off. He said so you lost all the stuff in your deep freeze because it was so hot. But he said, of course, with two young kids, it was quite nice having candlelit dinners and playing with jigsaw puzzles all evening. But it's not for everyone, is it? But he said 2016 that starts. Where are the plans in County Hall for that? Where are the plans in County Hall for peak oil? I suggest nowhere.
Take a break, come back. That's fascinating. We'll also come back and speak to Rhea, who's not very happy with a certain councillor when she sent him an email requesting to know a little bit more about PFI. That's to come after these.
Isle of Wight Phone-In is brought to you in association with isleofwight.com, the guide to your holiday on the Isle of Wight.
It's springtime. Fancy a change? Rather than decorate, why not just freshen up that old room with a colourful mural? Or do you need to get the nursery ready for the pitter-patter of tiny feet? Hey, what about painting the children's bedroom with their favourite characters? Maybe Toy Story, Mickey Mouse, or even the Mad Hatter. Brighten up that room with Penny. Call her now on 0777 940 5879. That's 0777 940 5879.
Newport Football Club are looking to confirm they are the premier team on the island. They have the facilities and the players, but have they got what it takes to be contenders? This season's mission is to get out of the Wessex League and leave their neighbours behind. Look out for the rivalry in the local derbies between Brading Town and Cow Sport. Come on down and cheer on the Port. Entry for home games is from just £3.50, or keep up to date by listening to Vectors Radio on match days for updates home and away.
And Newport's next home match is on Wednesday the 13th of April against Bemerton Heath Harlequins. Kick-off 7:45.
For all your jobs, for all your needs, whitequotes.co.uk.
White PrestQuote.co.uk is the island's leading quote comparison website. Whatever job you want, whatever trade you need, from builders to entertainers, you name it, we've got it. Don't waste time phoning around. Get the right quote on WhiteQuote.co.uk.
For all your jobs, for all your needs, WhiteQuote.co.uk.
Ciao.
Hey.
Bonjour.
Ni hao.
EF Language Travel are recruiting leaders and teachers for the forthcoming season. So if you are 21 or over and looking for a fun and interesting summer job, please get in touch on 821133. That's 821133.
The best mix of hits anywhere on the planet. This is Vectis Radio.
It's the Isle of Wight phone in on Vectis Radio. We've got special guest Mike Stark, and on the phone we've got English Pete.
Afternoon, rather. Hello, Mike.
Hello there, English Pete.
It's a fascinating discussion. I'm really glad you're in and talking about this.
Thanks very much.
And it's what local radio should be and should be all about. So this is
right.
Ian's station working at its very best, in my opinion.
Thank you.
We need much more of this. But this, I'm entirely with you in what you're saying, Mike, about these PFIs. I think it's so goes against the interests of the ordinary taxpayer,
yeah.
It's just not funny. We've got these PFIs now for the roads, they're in the NHS that you've spoken about. Don wants to talk about the prison service, and I would imagine he wants to talk about the PFIs being brought into that and the building of privately run prisons.
Yeah.
It's in schools, it's in every walk of life, and what we're actually doing now is we're now routinely shifting by the digger load public money into the pockets of these big corporations that
yes.
often are controlled from outside Britain.
Yep, this is true. Multinationals. Pete, I'm right with you there. I think historically, Margaret Thatcher started off the privatisation.
Yeah. And deregulated the banks and all the rest of it.
That's right. Now, the privatisation, this was privatisation of the major utilities like electric, railway, railways eventually, which John Major pushed through.
Yeah.
But, of course, what have we got now? We've got nothing but complaints about these things because they're built up to make profits for private companies. And as you say, a lot of them are multinationals. I mean, we got to the silly situation now. I was reading the other day where a rail franchise here, which is supposed to be privatised by our government here, was actually being taken on by a nationalised, it was either French or German, but a nationalised European railway was taking on one of our privatised franchises.
Yeah, because they can see how profitable.
Well, exactly. And in fact, of course, all these figures are skewed. And coming back to our PFI, there's a thing I was mentioning earlier called optimism bias. And that is they have to do a sum to show that the private finance initiative will be cheaper than carrying on doing it as a public service paid for out the taxes. And they actually skew, I mean, I've seen, it's not just me saying this, it's his experts tell me this, is they skew the estimates so that the private one looks better than the public one. I mean, it's called creative accounting. It's not illegal, but that's how they do it. But if it's done realistically, of course, if you cut out the middleman, anyone running a small business knows this. If you cut out the middleman, you've got a bit more money for yourself. What PFIs and privatisation is about is bunging in an enormous middleman who's got to make his profits. And now all that has been highly successful. All the big national, international corporations, they perfectly legally give any political party that looks like getting into power, whether it's Labour, Conservative, Liberal, Coalition, whatever, they give them lots of money to help them with their elections, and it's all legal. They're all happy. But now what we've got left over is the local services. We've got the national services have been privatised. Now we've got the local services like the roads, the schools, social services, etc., that we run at the local level, that councils run on our behalf at a local level. Now, there's an awful lot of money to be made there, isn't there? They've woken up to this, you see. So now, and it's again, it trickles down from national government, and it suits, I mean, down here, it suits the national government. David Cameron said just the other week, the way forward he saw for local authorities running services was for private industry, amongst others, but for private industry to take them over. he puts little hearts and flowers around it with saying voluntary sector, charities, blah-de-blah-de-blah. Well, those people, by and large, can't run these sort of organisations, so, oh dear, it ends up being a private company doing it. Well, that's the only people who put in a bid.
Another perfect example of this business about privatising an industry and then the British taxpayer shovelling money into the pockets of shareholders is what's happened with power production, as you spoke about, with EDF. The French company, which is the majority shareholder of EDF is the French government.
Yes.
That now own a huge percentage of our electricity generation.
This is the great irony, Pete, isn't it?
The nuclear.
The great irony, Pete, isn't it? That this is nationalised power production, nationalised services in another country are magically, they are actually profitable and work. We were always told, if you remember, we were always told, nationalised industry is so inefficient and so expensive, we've got to do away with it. Very strange that it seems to work elsewhere. And I remember when the rail was being nationalised, I used to commute to the mainland for a couple of years, and I used to share a compartment with some British Rail people, and they were telling me all the time how it was being deliberately run down to make it cheap for nationalisation.
So yeah, of course, I can't believe that. Yeah.
Of course, it was getting inefficient. And a bloke who ran one of the commuter stations, he was the station manager. I won't mention the name of it, but it was on the main route to London. And he said they'd cut out the station staff. Him and a couple of others were the only ones left. So you didn't have a ticket officer. You didn't have someone there checking the tickets. And he said in 3 months they lost £1 million.
Yeah.
Because all these commuters in the gin belt were chancing their arms. So of course, then they lost money. So then it's much cheaper to sell something and this is the way it goes. And when it comes down to the local levels, we're going to get just the same. I mean, there's some things already are being privatised, and you get complaints about. Insiders tell me about rip-offs going on with privatised local services, and of course County Hall always deny it. I'm very, very anti this, and I think that
people never ever seem to, well, certainly politicians don't ever mention, is that the reason all these privatised businesses want in is because everything is highly profitable that they're taking.
Exactly.
And it is us, it is the taxpayer who are footing the bill for it all.
Exactly,
Pete. Instead,
Pete,
of us reinvesting in services in our country and in our community, our money is being subverted at an ever increasing rate into the pockets of these shareholders. And if people can't see that that is fundamentally wrong, and if Pew can't see that that's wrong, then that man plainly isn't fit to be in the position he is.
Well, of course, you've got to bear in mind that Mr. Pew you can take it or leave it, he is a professional politician. That's what he has decided to do for his living. I mean, he doesn't have any other job, and he never has had any other job. I'm not criticising it, I'm just saying it's a fact of life. Some people do that. But what the point about that is that it is no secret that Mr. Pew would love to be an MP, whether here or elsewhere, it doesn't matter. He would love to be an MP. At the moment, the people in charge in Whitehall, David Cameron and the coalition, they have openly said they prefer to have the sort of privatised local authority services run. Now, David Pugh, I am sure, is wise to that, and it doesn't do his CV any harm at all, in my view, with his political bosses in London, if he says, please, sir, look, sir, I'm doing ever so well, sir, I'm doing some privatising, and I'm getting a PFI in, sir, aren't I a good boy? It all looks good on the CV, doesn't it?
Yeah, he'll get the reward eventually.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's changed.
My beef with that is that I think local councillors should be accountable to their local people, and they should only be interested in what goes on locally, and they should think long term about that. And I think they should employ officials who are interested as well. And I think there are far too many commuters coming over from Essex and all sorts of other places to run our services here, and where are their real interests? You can't knock them for it. There's Steve Bannon lives in Essex. I couldn't knock him for the fact if his interests are in Essex rather than here.
My beef is more or less the same thing. this guy, Steve Bynum, I've got no issues with Steve Bynum. Whenever I've met him, he's been charming. He's he comes across as a gentleman. But he's only here for a short space of time, and he's going to come over here, mess things up, and go, and leave someone else to clear up the mess. Now, you know, as well as I do, that David Pugh is probably going to do exactly the same. He'll probably be an MP up country somewhere.
Yeah, but, Ian, the person who comes along behind won't clear up the mess. They'll make it worse.
Well,
because that's what happens.
Pete, let me tell you a little statistic. We're talking about Steve Bynum. He's lasted longer than some, but believe me, and I could give you the names if you like, in the last 12 years, we have had 8 chief executives.
And how much money have they cost us?
Ever-increasing numbers.
Yeah.
The first one we got, was made redundant, and he got, I think it was 120-odd thousand in his hand.
Bernard Quarrel?
And a nice, no, before him.
All right.
but it's an average of less than 2 years. Now, the present incumbent, he actually told me once he thought it was a 5-year job that he'd got to do because everything was in such a mess. Because they all the ones that take over find it's been in such a mess, the bloke before. Anyway, he told me it was going to last 5 years, and he's been here nearly 3 now, so he's actually outlasted. Steve Bannon's been there longer than many of his predecessors. But remember this, Pete, you've got councillors who actually employ these people. They're the ones who actually sign off the chitty to say these people can have these jobs. And these councillors employ them. We are told, they put out the press handouts to the county press to say this bloke's the best thing since sliced bread. We've had it about 8 of them now. And as far as 7 of them are concerned, as soon as they're gone after they're under 2 years, it's all the mutterings behind their hands to say, oh, I never liked him anyway. Oh, he was rubbish, you know. Yeah. I mean, the last one, Joe Vera Duckworth. Who ended up getting sacked from his next job, allegedly. He was so wonderful when he came here. And then as soon as he was off to this new job that made him for a few weeks the most expensive chief executive in the country at Newham Borough Council in London, oh dear, you couldn't hear a good word for him in County Hall. And yet they'd employed him on a 100-and-plonk.
They messed up.
I just want to make one quick comment before I disappear, and let you carry on, Mike, with your really interesting discussion today. The last caller, Mark, made a comment about he's had a letter from the chief executive saying offering to recompense him for the money he wasted coming over to tender for a job that had already gone. Now, just to put you in the picture, this is to do with the £4 million refurbishment of County Hall. Now, Mark made it known in advance on one of these radio programmes that he was going to come over here because he's got experience in the building trade, and he was going to put together a team of people out of local craftsmen and tender for the work. The chief executive, who was on the programme that day, said, yeah, okay, fine, come over, I'll be glad to see you. So the guy comes all the way over from France. It then turns out that the job had already been signed off weeks and weeks before he even got invited over on the radio programme. And now we're hearing that Mark is being offered compensation for wasting all that money on fares, which he's turned down. The point I'm wanting to make here is this is a council who can waste money hand over fist. They knew the job had already gone. They invited Mark over. Then they're offering to compensate him with our money again.
That's right, Pete, and don't get me started on them wasting money. There's a principle here that you've got to realise is that the council, any council, they're not set up to make money, to save money, to make something to sell. They're there to spend money. And it's a sort of ethos. I mean, I'm not saying it goes across the board. There are some very, very good people working in county halls all over the country. Unfortunately, they tend not to get to the top. But there are some very good people doing a very good job. But the general ethos you'll get, especially in the top management many councils, we're there to spend it, we're not there to save it. And the amount of waste you wouldn't believe. I mean,
it's not real money to them, it's like
exactly.
Monopoly.
It's not their money, and it's Monopoly money, and and they get fed in stuff from outside agencies and all these consultancies and so on, saying, oh, this is the way we do it nowadays. And it's like the Emperor's New Clothes. They don't want to look foolish, so they say, oh, yeah, well, we'll have some of that. So that's another £500,000 to have some management squawk about something or other, and all sorts of things. I mean, one example was they bought, this is a couple of years ago now, they bought 140,000 quid's worth of software for their computers, and then they realised that it didn't fit anything. Now, I'm not a technician, but it didn't. And so there was £140,000 worth of software that sat in its boxes unopened.
Well done. Did he keep his job?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, hey, look, Pete. Pete, we've got another call coming through, but thanks for your call.
It's a fascinating discussion today.
Thanks, Pete.
This is local radio at its very best, as I said at the beginning. You keep it up, mate.
Thanks, Pete. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers, Pete.
OK, let's take another quick call. We've got to come to Rhea in a minute, because she's here, and she's made a special journey. Hi, who's this?
Sorry, mate, I wanted to talk to Pete.
Oh, he's gone.
Pete, that was one of the reasons, well, the reason I turned that money down. Because I knew it would be the taxpayer, you lot, paying for it, for their mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, we ended the last of this, Mark. We'll chat about this more, all right?
You know what I mean? But that's why I turned it down.
All right.
Because I weren't having the council taxpayer paying for their mistake. Well, simple as that.
No, thanks for that, and thanks for your call. Cheers, mate. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, it's Chris, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I try to get rushed back for this phoning in. I'm sorry I'm late, because I really wanted to get stuck into this. What have you said so far, quickly?
Oh, mate, we've said it all.
I expect you have. you know, yesterday about the waste of money on the extension and all this business or whatever, refurbishment of County Hall. Who's the gentleman you got in with you?
It's Mike Stark, OBE.
Hello, Mike. Is it Mark?
Mike Stark, yeah.
Hello,
yeah.
Mike.
Hello, Chris.
I mean, it's just absolutely ludicrous, Mike. I mean, why we've got another, how many years of these people too, is it?
It's another couple of years this long.
Yeah, I mean, the sooner we get this bunch of monkeys out is the business. We said yesterday, there's no democracy. There's nothing. There is an inner cabinet that rocks everything. They messed around and didn't even bother looking properly at the alternative budget. They're wasting a huge amount of money. And, of course, what you just said about Mark, reimbursing him, he's a gentleman. He's turned around and refused the compensation, and he's a gentleman for that.
Too right.
But like he said, I mean, it's turned around is that they can turn around and just waste people's money. And I know what you're talking about is the software. That was, funny enough, the bloke that did that did move from that job, and he went to the computer firm that he got the software off.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was absolutely appalling. That was about £150 worth of software. Now, how in the heck, I mean, when you order something like that, you should have three types of invoices, shouldn't you? You should have people putting signatures on that vast amount of money in order to warrant it to be done. And it just goes to show the catastrophic money that's lost out of this this council. And we're, like I said yesterday, we're going back to the basic needs of being hammered, toilets and all the other business, where these people just leak money.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Chris. I mean, it's part of my answer to the cuts that they've imposed on us in County Hall just recently. And you know, they've said, oh, well, there's no alternative. You know, where have we heard that before? I've always beefed about that. Two things particularly. One is the waste of money particularly. I mean, I've highlighted it over 25 years. Not just this lot, there's previous lot as well. They're all as bad as each other, more or less.
Yeah.
But there's such waste of money, and I mean, you'd be amazed. I mean, I've found out all sorts of things like this, like that software. I mean, they pay. There's an organisation called Solace, the Society of Local Authority Chief Executives. It's, if you like, the trade union. It's the unison of the boss class. Okay.
Yeah.
Now they also run a solely owned subsidiary of Solace, as it's called, Solace Enterprises Limited, and that's a management consultancy for local authorities. And we paid in the last 4 years. I got this on an FOI Freedom of Information request, £74,000 management consultancy. Now look at it. I bet Unison would cut their right arms off to have this. You've got a trade union that's fighting for its members on one side of the table, and then it jumps over the table and puts a tie on, and it's fighting for the management. What's going on there? Chris?
You know, Mike, don't you find that we are the dumping ground for very expensive statisticians that do nothing for our community except be there as jobs worth, and then they sit there. They don't want to touch anything. It's like the Sandown airport and facilities of leisure down there. I mean, the thing going on with our last chief executive. And quote.
Yeah.
Chris,
it's stepping stones. Yeah,
it is.
These people, I mean, you used to get people, there's still people I know on the island who have worked in the local authority over the years, who found they were proud to be working for their community.
Yeah.
There was one bloke who was in the accounts department as a treasurer, one of the old councils this was, and I mean, he's in his 90s now, but he told me, he said he came out of the war, he wanted to do something, he knew he could earn more as an accountant, he could earn more in private practice, but he wanted to put something into his community. For goodness sake, he'd spent 5 years in Changi jail at the hands of the Japanese. I reckon he'd done enough for the community. But no, his attitude was he wanted to put something back. He knew he could earn more money in private practice, but he went into that, and he said to me, he said he could walk down the street in Newport and he could see something that had been built or something that had been done that he knew the council had done, and he could feel proud of the fact that he'd had some input in that as an official. Now, that is a public servant. That is someone who's respectable and responsible. The people we get nowadays, they can't wait to get out of the one job into the next as a stepping stone to get more money.
Right on the head. The community starts from where you are in the community.
Absolutely.
Like town councils. I cannot stand politics in town councils.
I agree with you. It shouldn't be there.
You should be there for the town. You shouldn't have party politics and manifestos and
it
and
ties them down, whip. Chris. It ties them. It ties them down.
Ties them down exactly.
I've been talking about this morning. They have the groups. I mean, the Tories, I think, on the island are the worst. But there we are. They'd argue otherwise. But these political groups, they are tied to their political party, and they have to say what that rule book.
But what you
says.
Said, Mike, about the question that they turn around and say, having all the independence wouldn't work. Well, of course it would. Because at the moment, every individual has an opinion.
Yeah.
Now, you will get a mass of independent people that could obviously have opinions. Some differ, some are the same, and some will work it out. Now, independents could actually work the council much better because they are not tied down by a manifesto.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard, and I know, quote, I'm not saying exactly who it is, a man that went in there under the disguise of being elected and went in there, and then he was actually strapped down virtually to the chair because he was under the manifesto. Now, the point is, if you had independent councillors going in there, voted by the people,
yeah,
and what they wanted to do, of course the council could work quite admirably with that. Don't you agree?
I do. I mean,
hey,
look,
sorry, gentlemen, we've got a call time on that. It's just gone 1 o'clock. Thanks.
Sorry,
for
I called in late.
That's all right. Thanks for your call, Chris. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks, right.
Cheers, Chris.
Cheers now. Bye. I want to come to Rhea first of all before we go. Now, you know, just point out, and I just hope that, you know, there are some councillors, which I'm sure they are, that they're listening. I want you to listen to this because I think it's really important that you do. You know, people ask for help. At the moment, there's this alternative vote thing that everybody's talking about, and the councillors are going around and they're posting little leaflets through the doors, and they want to ask you questions, and they want to make sure that you know all about it, and they're taking the trouble to do it, time and the trouble to do it. Now, this week, a lady took the time and the trouble to email a couple of councillors in her area because she wanted to know a little bit more about the PFI situation. She's a concerned council taxpayer. She's got every right to do so, just like the councillors have got every right to do so by knocking on your door or putting something through your door, making you aware of what you're actually voting for in May. So it goes both ways. Now, Rhea, what happened when you sent an email to the councillors?
Well, one councillor was very quick to respond, and basically, I mean, I did say that I'm not qualified about these matters, but I'm, you know, I'd like to know more about it, and I had a few concerns. And the reply I was getting back was that you're not qualified to understand, you know, reasonably about all of this. And each time that email came in, I kept going back and forwards with this person, and each time it came back, it was as if you're not qualified, so your opinion doesn't really matter, and that was the impression I got.
So I mean, going back to when we first opened this conversation with
yeah.
you, there's a big vote taking place in a moment, and they want you to understand that.
Yes.
They've taken the time and the trouble to stick a leaflet through your door and tell you what it's all about. They don't do this about the PFI, and yet you've taken the time and the trouble to find out and ask.
Yes.
It's okay. In the past, we as a nation, we've been ignorant. We were ignorant of AIDS, and we found out more about it, and we're less so. We were ignorant of homosexuality, so we ask, and we find out more. And now we're ignorant of the PFI situation. We're asking. As concerned yes. taxpayers, we are asking. We're sending emails to certain people that are supposedly in the know, and it would have been nice if some would have replied to our emails just to sort of say, well, I don't really know anything about it, you're better off asking Edward Giles or Mr. Pugh or whatever. But we didn't get that. All we got was, I felt shunned, and I know you did as well.
Yes, I did.
And I can't believe the ignorance. Now, do you want a name and shame?
Yes, I will, actually. I don't care. It's Roger Mazilius.
Now, does that surprise you at all, Mike, or not?
Well, it doesn't really, to be honest.
How can we find out and vote for things?
I think whether it's Roger Mazilius or whoever it is unacceptable for any elected member to treat any member of the electorate in the sort of way that Rhea says that she's been treated. This is just not on. I think, again, there is a tendency for some people, when they get elected, to get a little bit above their station. The people should realise they are servants of the people, exactly as the officials who are paid, paid officials. They should realise they are servants of the people. There's an awful lot too much arrogance and posturing going on. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with them being servants of the people. It doesn't mean they're underdogs or anything. It means they're respectable. Like the gentleman that I was talking about earlier, who was proud to serve his community. That's what he got out of it. Any member of the electorate, for goodness sake, they're supposed to have a respect agenda. They're supposed to have, their monitoring officer, Davina Fiore, is supposed to make sure that they are respectful towards each other and respectful towards the electorate. I would suggest to Rhea that she complains to Davina Fiore, the monitoring officer of the council, and a little bird tells me in the case of Mr. Mazilius, Councillor Mazilius, it won't be the only complaint that's maybe being dealt with at the moment in this respect.
He came in and did the very first phone in on Vectis Radio, and he was charming.
Yes, I'm sure he was.
But I've heard from so many people that he can be very abrupt and very, yes. very rude. And, it sounds like, I've read the emails, yes. the to and fro, and I just think it was, you used the same word, condescending.
It was condescending. And at the same time, I sent the same letter to Councillor PC Wilcox, and she sent emails back that were informative, but they were treating me as, with respect. And not treating me as just this silly little woman that doesn't know a backside from her elbow.
The thing is, I mean, you've taken the time and the trouble to find out. You don't know anything. I don't know anything. That's why we got Mike in. You know, I'm not ashamed to know that I knew sod all about the PFI thing. I'm not going to take David Pugh's word on it. I'm going to go and find out a little bit more about it. And then I'm going to form an opinion, because that's what you do, isn't it? That's what it's
Absolutely.
All about.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've ran out of time. We've ran over, in fact, and it's been a fascinating phone. And will you come back again, Mike? Because I think, you know, this ain't over yet, is it?
Yeah, certainly. I'll be happy to, Ian. And thanks very much indeed for letting me sound off.
No worries at all. This is obviously recorded. It will be repeated. It's going to be put on podcast. So this is going to go all the way around the world.
Excellent.
So we can really bang the drum. If you want to know more about PFI...
Fame at last.
Yeah, well, for you, yeah. It's just a good thing we haven't got a webcam working at the moment, because I don't think that look suits you.
I'm in my cycle gear. Tell everybody. I'm sorry. The thing is, you have to look at it, and I don't, you see. That's the thing, Ian.
Yeah. Hey, it's nice to have met you, and thanks for coming
in. Yeah,
and
thanks
for being there as well, Rhea.
Okay.
It's 7 minutes after one. We are very late for the news.